You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of Atlantis we came, moving loudly through 100 episodes. Everyone knew we were among you, but not like this. It's Transmissions from Atlantis, featuring Brazen Witch Productions' own JC and Rita Della Torre. And now, your hosts.
Hey there, everybody! We thought you got rid of us, didn't you?
We're still here!
Yep, we didn't do 100 episodes and just kind of pack it in. We're actually still podcasting, and we've got a whale of an episode for you this week.
And why?
Because it's our Dragon Con preview!
Woohoo! Dragon Con! Buckets of rum! Lots of fun!
Con!
Every year.
Every year.
Every year you have to do that, really?
Yes. It's mandatory.
There's something wrong with you.
It's mandatory.
At least when it comes to Dragon Con, it is, because it is that much of a geek party.
Yep. All right, I'm Jason Della Torre.
And I'm Rita Della Torre.
And this is Transmissions from Atlantis, episode 101.
Where we're going to give you the 411 on Dragon Con.
That was stupid.
You're stupid.
This week we have some great guests. We have the directors of DragonCon TV, as well as both the American Sci-Fi Classics and the American Sci-Fi Tracks, as well as the Horror Track. So, bunch of different track directors to help you out with all your different things that you're going to be doing at DragonCon, at least the things that we're interested in. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the Brit Track Director this year. She's a little bit too busy, I guess. But we will be giving you a full breakdown of everything that's going on with Brit Track.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Because we love Doctor Who and Harry Potter and Downton Abbey and all that other good stuff.
To start off our interviews, we're going to talk to Joe Crow of the American Sci-Fi Classics Track.
Every single time I hear Joe Crow's name, I keep thinking Crow-T Robot.
I'm sure he takes that as a compliment. All right, folks, our next guest on our DragonCon special is the track director for the American Sci-Fi Classics. Is that what it's still called, Joe, or is it called something else now?
At the moment, it's American Sci-Fi Classics.
I know you had mentioned that it may be morphing into something else, but just wanted to make sure we still had the title, right?
Unless you've heard something, I haven't.
Okay. So, Joe Crow is with us. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you guys.
And so we're excited to have you on because the American Sci-Fi Classics track is definitely one of our favorite tracks of the con.
It's the track that has fun.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
And we were just talking off air a little while that, you know, some tracks, they have rules and regulations. Well, this one is just fun, have a good time, and I think it really shows in your panels because everybody just has a blast at your panels.
That's what I want. That's what me and my co-director, my head minion, Gary Mitchell, that's what we always want. We came to Dragon Con for years separately. That's where he and I met for the first time. But probably like you guys too, we went to sci-fi conventions for years before being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, I could do this. And so what we'd like to do with the Classics track is to kind of make a schedule with panels that we would want to go see if we were still sitting in the audience somewhere.
Yep, and I think that kind of approach to it has helped your track gain in popularity. I mean, you guys were one of the most well-attended tracks at Dragon Con last year.
Thank you. I hope so. I like to think so.
And so obviously this has been a big year for anniversaries. I know Back to the Future had its anniversary. Are you guys doing anything special for Back to the Future?
We are. We are doing two things. Well, maybe two and a half things. Maybe three things, technically. But we're doing the science of Back to the Future with our mutual friend, Dr. Geek, Scott Begay. And that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy.
So everything he said about you guys was okay. So
it's all true. It's all true. Yeah, yeah, all right.
And then I believe Sunday. One thing I should mention is if I say a day or a time, disregard that entirely.
all schedules, times, and days are scheduled to change.
Yes.
They're subject to change up to the point. Yes. Even the idea that they are subject to change is
subject to change.
Subject to change. Really, only after it's happened is it confirmed. And even then, you might need proof. So,
yes.
But Sunday, we're going to do another Back to the Future panel, and we're going to work a costume contest in there.
Ooh. We saw some great Marty McFlys at the Tampa Bay Comic Con, so...
Oh, terrific.
Hopefully people come strong.
I'm sure there's going to be some Doc Browns roaming around, and we would have loved to get some Back to the Future guys there, and that didn't work out, so we're just going to do it ourselves.
Yeah. So what else do you guys have going on for some of the anniversaries? What other anniversaries are you celebrating at Dragon Con this year?
Oh, my gosh. It started out as a good idea for panels when me and Gary started. I think this is year four for us, since we started doing the thing. And we thought, you know what, let's celebrate anniversaries. And it has taken on a life of its own because tons of things are at like the 20-year mark, 25 years, 30. And in the case of Jaws, it's the 40th anniversary this year.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
We were going through this massive list. So, I didn't realize Jaws, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Jaws. Now, of course, a ton of stuff happened in 1985. And so much, in fact, that we're, in addition to some of our full-length panels, we're doing a panel called 1985 and 1990, the Year of Almost Good Sequels.
That sounds awesome.
So we're going to talk about RoboCop 2 and Creepshow 2 and Gremlins 2. And I think one of the Halloweens was in one of those 2 years. But so as far as full-length panels go, Back to the Future, and we got to do something with Goonies, for goodness sake.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
And it's Lost in Space's 50th anniversary.
Wow.
And those guys are still kicking. They're the entire still living cast, which is everybody except for Dr. Smith and the dad. They all got together, and there's a big Blu-ray collection of the show coming out just a few weeks after the con.
Oh, wow.
So, for the 50th anniversary. So, we're going to do something there. And Pee-wee's Big Adventure is 30, and the day I get Pee-wee Herman to come to Dragon Con is, that's when I sign off.
You dropped the mic right there, huh?
If that happened, I'm out. but that's going to be a hoot and a half just talking about Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And let's see, Lost in Space, The Flash's 25th anniversary of the original TV show.
Oh, wow.
And John Wesley Shipp is here because he's got another gig on another Flash TV show. And so we're talking to him.
Awesome.
It's going to be happening because that's going to be fun, just talking to the guy in the suit.
Yeah, that's awesome. So are there any other guests for this track?
It seemed like, I think last year we had like an embarrassment of riches. we had almost a dozen guests. This year we've kind of dialed it back a little bit, but we've got John Wesley Shipp is going to be there. We're doing some stuff with him. And Richard Hatch is a frequent Dragon Con guy. But mm-hmm. this year, also with him, is the original Colonel Todd.
Really?
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to do something together and talk about Battlestar. And let's see. And two guys from 2001 A Space Odyssey are coming.
Oh, wow.
Keir Dulia and Gary Lockwood, who played the two of the astronauts.
Yeah, awesome.
The
Very cool.
So we're gonna talk to them all weekend, and a few other people are gonna be roaming in and out. Of course, we've got, they call them attending professionals, but it's writers, podcasters, guys that you know, guys that I know. Like the Earth Station One crew is coming.
Yep, absolutely.
And the award-winning Bobby Nash, who everyone insists on calling award-winning, and if you don't, then he won't mind, but we should.
I believe it's Georgia State law now. I believe it's Georgia State law now.
And Phantom Troublemaker is doing some fun stuff. He just walks around in a Lucha mask all the time. It's great. But this year, we're bringing back something really cool and fun that we've done even since before I was a track director. Match Game in the 25th Century.
Oh, cool.
With Gil Gerard himself as the host.
Buck Rogers himself.
It's,
wow.
Buck Rogers himself. It's just like Match Game from the 70s, but Gil Gerard's the host. And the questions are kind of sci-fi, kind of futuristic, like Tweaky went to the mailbox and fell on his blank, that kind of thing.
And that's cool.
You have to witness it. You have to witness it because Gil, or Mr. Gerard, I feel weird calling him Gil. I'm going to call him Mr. Gerard. He is a funny, funny dude, but he, for the panelists, you know, like on the old Match Game show, it was a bunch of celebrities who would give answers and they would play along with the audience members.
Yep.
But what Gil Gerard does is he grabs celebrities off of the Walk of Fame, but doesn't tell us who they are.
Wow.
So when they walk in the audience, and when they walk in the room, that's who's on the panel, and it's a complete surprise every year.
Wow.
We might have to check it out.
Who did he get last year?
Last year we got Garrett Wang from Star Trek Voyager, and that's the second year that he's done it. Julie Benz from Dexter and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yep.
And Defiance. She's in Defiance now. And yep. John Ratzenberger. Cliffy from Cheers. Was on our track last year.
That's awesome.
My mind was blown. I got there after all the guests had started coming in. I walked into the room. And I expected to see Gil Gerard, like, hey, you know, he's setting up. And then there's Cliffy sitting behind the desk.
That's awesome.
What's Cliffy doing there?
Probably pontificating.
And then the year, it was just craziness.
So then you never really know who might show up.
You never know.
So I know one of our favorite panels of your track last year was the Ghostbusters panel. Obviously, it was an anniversary year for Ghostbusters, but with a new movie coming out, are you guys doing something special for Ghostbusters again?
We are. We're working again with a couple of the regional Ghostbusters groups, like the Georgia Ghostbusters and the Alabama Ghostbusters. They all get together at Dragon Con.
Yep.
And these are guys who have created their own suits, their own proton packs. I think they work. And they've tricked out cars and made them into ectomobiles. You'll see all these guys in the parade. And they're just a bunch of sweet guys. And they make fan films. They make web series. They go to hospitals and you know, meet with sick kids. It's just terrific stuff. And I know that there's an upcoming documentary about them called Ghost Heads. And we're going to... I think the first trailer, a big trailer preview of that movie, that documentary, we're going to debut at the Ghostbusters panel this year.
Very cool.
You know, I know my favorite panel from last year was actually the Flash Gordon panel.
Yeah, that one was fun too.
Thank you.
Who's the guy with the old mask again?
Oh, I'm going to find him. If we can just get Clytus on every panel, that's my plan.
Yep. And we even had a few Mings in there. That was awesome.
So good. That's what I like. What I love, and this happened last year really often, when you focus a panel like on one topic or one movie, the cosplayers just come.
Mm-hmm.
And they swarm. It's like they like mosquitoes. Like,
yeah.
And we did a She-Ra panel, and there were three She-Ras in there.
That's awesome.
So great. And we did an Airwolf panel.
Yes.
And Airwolf cosplayers.
Yes, I remember that.
I didn't know there were Airwolf cosplayers.
Yeah, that was awesome. Ascension was right in the front row. That was great.
And we let's see, what was I talking about the cosplayers? Yeah, Flash Gordon. We're not doing a dedicated Flash Gordon panel this year, and we're also not doing anything officially on Thursday this year.
Oh, really?
We
kind of had an impromptu on Thursday, and
yeah,
it was, like, amazingly attended.
Perfect. Well, I think people are there, and they got nothing else to do but hang out, which that's what we do on our track anyway. And we saw a need, and we hopefully met the need.
Yeah.
But it turns out that Thursday panels were basically a clerical error on the part of DragonCon.
Oh, okay.
There's a scheduling gizmo, like a database, that all the track directors put stuff in. And that's how they organize the guests and the times and all that stuff. And last year, Thursday showed up in the little drop-down menu. So I said, "Ooh, I'm going to put some panels on Thursday." And then it turns out that, we were not exactly supposed to do that. But hey,
so
forgiveness rather than permission.
Yep, so are you not exactly going to do that again this year?
I think not exactly. We're going to be in there, we're going to be setting up, and come by and see us. I don't know what we're going to do.
So that actually leads right into my next question for you, Joe. For those that aren't familiar with the American Sci-Fi Classics track, which room are they going to be able to find you, which hotel?
We're in the Marriott on the bottom, behind the escalator. Behind the FedEx. So if you want to make a few copies, buy a stapler, swoop right into the classic track.
All right.
We're right there. And our next door neighbors are the great folks who do the current shows, the American SF and Fantasy Media side.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And they're going to do a lot of shows. And when those shows get canceled, we get them.
So it's a nice little transfer there. You're right next to each other, and you just kind of hand it off.
It's so convenient for them. As soon as the show gets and when every track talks about, well, we're doing this thing with a show, and we're going to have a great thing with that show. On the classic track, we just sit back and laugh and go, one day all these shows will be ours.
That's awesome. One day, your happiness will be mine.
Yep. Yeah, just the show that you love now, as soon as it's canceled, the countdown starts. Not
I grow more powerful with your tears.
Exactly.
So if anybody find any more information on the track, do you guys have a website or something they can look up?
We do. We are on Twitter at Classic Track, CLASSICTRACK, and we are also on Facebook at, let's see, facebook.com/groups/American Sci-Fi Classics.
Okay.
And if you can't remember all that stuff, just look for Joe Crow, JOECROWE, and I'll send you the right way.
Sounds great. Well, Joe, thank you so much for your time. I know that you're going crazy at this point trying to get the track all together. We really appreciate you spending some time with us. And good luck. Can't wait to see you in, a couple weeks now, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you better get to work, man.
Well, not a couple weeks. Don't freak the man out. I think it's a little more than just a couple weeks.
It's too late. What am I going to do?
See, you're making the poor man freak out now.
One thing, I do a game show called Stump the Geeks, and I usually don't write those questions to like 5 minutes.
Five minutes before.
So I'm good.
Okay. Well, at least you don't wait till, like, the last minute. Just, you give yourself at least another extra 4 minutes.
Oh, that extra 4 minutes is gold.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, folks, thanks to Joe Crow for that awesome interview. Coming up next, well, they're right next door, so we might as well have them right next to each other in the interview circuit. Here is Kelly Harkins, track director for the American Science Fiction track.
And let me tell you, that is going to be a really fun track. They've got a lot of awesome guest people.
Yeah, and it's not just science fiction, it's also fantasy as
like
well.
Like Once Upon a Time, but we'll let her talk about it.
Yep, here we go. All right, folks, joining us now is Kelly Harkins, the track director for the American Science Fiction and Fantasy Media track at DragonCon. So, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
And obviously, American sci-fi is very close to our heart. We love all the awesome sci-fi that we have out there. What is your track focusing on this particular year?
Oh, this is a big year for us. We have, this is probably one of the most guests I have ever had.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, and that says a lot because we do get a lot of the bigger name guests. We have most of the cast of Arrow here this year.
Oh, wow.
We have some of the cast of Flash here this year. We have the most Battlestar Galactica people that we've had in a long time, including people who've never come to the con.
Fantastic.
We have Continuum cast and Once Upon a Time cast. So it's going to be a very busy year. I think probably we have more panels on superheroes this year than we have had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing about my track is it tends to morph a lot over the years,
yeah.
Depending on what's big and what's going on currently. That's one thing about my track is it changes a lot.
So with the superhero influence, especially with the movies coming out and whatnot, how has that kind of changed for you over the years? I mean, did you do a lot of the superhero stuff early on, or is that something that you just, because of the popularity of the Marvel movies and the DC movies, is it kind of something that's just developed over the last few years?
It's definitely developed. I mean, we would touch a little bit on it. But because we also do a movie panel every year on the movies out in the world and stuff like that. So we would cover it a little bit. But I think until the Arrow television show hit, it was pretty low key. Mm-hmm. And it's like Arrow was the first. And then we've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is actually on another track. But since it kind of morphs into some of the other superhero shows, we do cover Daredevil. So mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah.
It's a great big circle. So,
which Daredevil was fantastic. The first season was amazing.
Absolutely. Yes, looking forward to the next.
Absolutely. One. You mentioned some of the guests that you have going on. What other special events do you have? Do you guys have your own party, or are you kind of joining in with one of the other tracks?
Yeah, we don't do a party. I thought about it, and we used to. Like, we were the ones who did the first shindig when we had Firefly before it went off. And we've done a couple others over the years, but in the past couple of years, we've kind of shifted a little bit, and we do two events, and then we're starting something new this year. We'll see if it lasts. But on Friday night, we do the sci-fi heckle along drive-in. So
kind of like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 kind of thing.
Exactly.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that sounds
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah. Joe Crow from the American Classics science fiction track, and Kevin Batchelder, who's the one who kind of instigated me into it, because he's a huge fan of cheesy sci-fi movies. So they're like, come on, let's do this. And I was like, well, okay, sure, why not? And I think we started off with one of, Sharktopus or something. And this year we're doing Star Crash, one of the ultimate horrible, Star Wars ripoff movies.
We might just have to go check that out.
Is that like a Sci-Fi Channel special?
No, it's actually before all of that.
Oh, really? Oh, so
it's got David Hasselhoff in like one of his first roles.
Oh,
and
that sounds awesome.
It's truly, truly terrible. So, but so it should be fun to heckle a lot. And, it's usually pretty good fun. So they have a great time with it. We've had flying sharks and all kinds of strange things show up.
Sharknado.
Yes. And on Sunday night, we're on our fourth year of doing the Game Show of Thrones, which is very, it's like half trivia, half silliness. So where we do like silly contests all based on obviously Game of Thrones, which is one of the other shows we cover.
Oh, great.
So yeah, so we do that, and that's Sunday night, and humor is way over the top, and it's half also performance because you get style points, and so I'm working on the props for all the silly games for that currently.
Awesome.
So and then the new thing this year is actually we're going to also be doing with Classics is we're going to do a geek sing along on Thursday night.
Okay.
So that's the first time we'll be doing that, and we're, you know, because we were like, you know, there's all these geeky songs, you know, of course there's classic themes, which is where Joe's coming in, but there's also a lot of current stuff, you know, everything from, you know, Firefly and Gallivant and all these other shows that have, you know, catchy tunes, Supernatural doing a musical episode. So we're like, you know, let's do this. And so between the two, we're going to open up the air wall between the two tracks and, you know, just kind of laid back since it's Thursday night, just to kind of get people in the fun mood for Dragon Con.
Very cool. So you mentioned Game of Thrones. Obviously, you'll have some panels for that. Are you going to have any guests from Game of Thrones?
We do have guests from Game of Thrones this year, and they're still not the super big names, but we have three guests coming from there, all very recognizable people. We have Julian Glover, who is Master Pycelle, and we're going to be sharing him with the Brit track.
Fantastic.
You know, one of the voices of evil. And we have Finn Jones, who is Sir Loras, and he's going to be there. And we have Kristen Narn, who is Hodor, you know. Hopefully he says more than Hodor in the interview.
I'd be interested to see if he says anything other than Hodor.
Actually, it would be pretty funny if he did the whole interview in Hodor.
I hear he's very, because he's a DJ in his real life, so I'm feeling he's pretty, you know, pretty good with his talking, but I'm sure he might kind of milk that. I would milk it if I was him, at least.
I totally would. So Supernatural obviously is a big deal. Is that part of your track, or is that...
No, that is actually on the Urban Fantasy track. Yeah, but, you know, since nobody else does the sing-along, you know, they're all kind of like, yeah, whatever, go do it.
Any other interesting surprises that you might want to share with everybody?
Those are the big surprises. We're trying a couple... we always do some general panels, too, not just show panels. We have one on, obviously, the different comic book universes and media universes. We also have one that is called The Binge, because we're going to... talk about how binge watching has kind of changed things. A lot of people don't watch a show until like season 5, and then they're like, oh, it's on Netflix, I'm just gonna see all 4 seasons all at once and get current.
That's kind of how we do it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, and you mentioned Daredevil. I mean, I know a lot of people who sat down and watched that, you know, 10 hours of Daredevil in one shot, and then they're like, oh, when's it coming out?
That was us.
Yeah.
And we are definitely the same way. There are a handful, and I mean a small handful of shows that we will actually watch live. But everything else, it's like, okay, we'll just wait until it comes on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, and we'll binge watch it.
Yep, definitely.
Right. And it's definitely changing things, too, because, I mean, networks don't watch ratings as much anymore. But how do you judge how successful a show is if people are waiting like that to see something? You either get immediately response if it's, you know, like, hey, now it's brand new, like Daredevil or Sense8, or something that's just showing up now and people are watching it, you know, in a binge session, even though it's been out for years.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. So, Kelly, now I get to put you on the spot. Of the American science fiction and fantasy media that's out there, what is your personal favorite?
Oh, that is definitely a tough question. it's so hard because, you know, I have, because of partially my track, I do pay attention a lot to what's going out. It changes often. I mean, Game of Thrones is definitely up there. Arrow is definitely up there. Can I pick a top five?
Top five will work.
I really enjoyed Sense8 when it came out. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., once they got in the flow of, oh, let's work with the movies, I thought that was, you know, it was like definitely hit the stride then, where it was kind of fumbling before. Lost Girl is definitely one of my favorites, too. And, of course, then there's all the things, you know, I definitely love Doctor Who, and I I love so many things on other tracks too. You know, Penny Dreadful, which is
Penny Dreadful.
Big fan of Penny
Dreadful. You know, so, yeah, awesome shows out there that it just. I was saying to a friend of mine earlier that this is just, I have to admit, it's really a golden time to be into genre on any form of media, because it's just, you can turn and find so much of it where, you know, 15 years ago, you were lucky if there were four shows that you could watch.
What new shows that have debuted in the last, year or so, other than, you know, obviously Daredevil, did you like and would want to see more of?
Well, I really also liked Sense8. I thought it was, I really enjoyed how kind of turning on some cliches and, really looking at other cultures and things. I enjoyed that one a lot. I also really liked The Flash. I thought, it would have been very easy for them to follow in the same cookie cutter mold that Arrow was in, and that really wouldn't have worked for that show. So I like to see kind of the mechanism behind it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that they said, we got to do something different. It's going to run like in parallel. And so I'm really curious to see how DC is building up these lines of shows. And, I'm assuming they're going to have different tones to all of them. So I'm really curious to see how that's going to, kind of roll out. So. But Marvel's, realized that too with, Daredevil is on a different network, but yet they're obviously citing stuff from the major universe too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Marvel's brilliant with doing the whole MCU where everything is connected. I think that's an awesome idea. And I think DC's trying to start to do that a little bit now.
Yeah, they seem, much as I give the DC television a lot of credit, I like wish they would connect it with the movies, and they haven't seemed to wanted to do that. They waffle on it. Mm-hmm. Where I do give Marvel a lot of credit for, like, if we're doing a shared universe, let's do a shared universe. Mm-hmm. So,
well, Kelly, if somebody wanted to find out more information about your track, where would they go? Is somewhere on the web?
Well, we're in basically two places. You can obviously go to the DragonCon site. Our schedule is up under the Friend Tracks. So that is one option. Of course, once the app comes out, which I believe somebody said that it was updating, so maybe very soon. Also, we have a very active Facebook group, which stays busy throughout the year. We have a couple of people who are somewhat connected who are more than willing to share out the news they get. So there's lots of stuff going on there all year. So.
Fantastic. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to finally meeting you face-to-face, and have a great DragonCon.
You too.
All right, folks. So that was Kelly Harkins with the American Sci-Fi and Fantasy track. Next up is Derek Tatum with the horror track.
Dun, dun, dun!
All right, folks, joining us from DragonCon's horror track is the track director himself, Derek Tatum. Derek, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty well, actually. I can't believe that we're zeroing in on the DragonCon weekend.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It just jumps up on you. It's amazing how quickly it just arrives.
And as always, I am looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it should be a great year, actually.
So what do we have on tap for the horror track?
Well, we actually have quite a lot. Just sort of depends on what aspect of horror you are looking for, really. Got a lot of programming about the wave of television that we've had, over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Several guests from some of those shows. And we have a lot of authors. And, a couple of other surprises. I think it's going to be a very well-rounded year.
All right, well, let's start off with the television shows. I believe I saw that you have some folks from the Supernatural cast?
No, actually, Urban Fantasy Track runs Supernatural programming. No, that's fine.
I get you guys confused.
Honestly, it really comes down to splitting hairs with horror and urban fantasy. In fact, whenever we're talking about what shows go where, sometimes... Our senior director will be like, okay, we'll have to watch a couple of episodes and then sort it out. So.
I don't know, man. For me, Supernatural has always been kind of horror related, doing with the vampires and the demons and everything else.
Well, you know, it's weird. The first, I would say, like the first three or four seasons, where it's definitely horror. But I think once they got off on this whole angel kick, and you know, I think it sort of moved into that urban fantasy arena myself.
Yeah, but that makes sense, I guess. All right, so what does the horror track have for television going on?
Well, you know, we have Tom Meissen, or I guess it's Meissen from Sleepy Hollow, coming. Yeah, yeah. Hilariously, my second in command is also named Ichabod, so naturally, he's going to be moderating if all goes.
He must.
As planned. Yeah, yeah. It will be entertaining. Also, John Noble. He was actually an early guest announcement. But also, also from Sleepy Hollow, we have Corey Castellano. He is the head of the makeup department for Sleepy Hollow, I do believe. Yeah, and you know, now of course all programming is tentative, but me and him have talked about doing a panel just about the monsters, where he will come in and talk about, you know, the monsters of Sleepy Hollow. So that should be pretty cool. We actually have a Sleepy Hollow related panel on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this year. So fans of that show, hopefully you'll enjoy what we have.
Yep, and for those that don't remember John Noble, he was also in Fringe as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, and in Lord of the Rings.
Yep, Lord of the Rings as well.
Yeah. Now, Fringe is a very nice guy, so.
Yes. So, with the Evil Dead relaunch, are you guys doing any panels at all on Evil Dead at all?
Not this year. Hopefully, we will next year. You know, I assume the show will be very popular. I mean,
I can't wait for it. I know that.
but no, actually, it was kind of announced a little later into the
cycle.
Into the cycle, yeah. And not only that, but you know, I do try to focus on what guests we actually have.
All right. So, what else can we look forward to with Horror Trek?
Well, actually, thinking about television, we have several guests from American Horror Stories last season, Freak Show, yeah. We have Erica Irvin, who played Amazon Eve. Naomi Grossman, who was actually also in Asylum, she played Pepper.
Oh, yes, I remember her.
And Rose Siggins, who played, I think her character was named Legless Susie, if I'm not mistaken. But also, Matt Fraser, who played Paul, the Illustrated Seal. I think Matt is a phenomenal actor, and I'm really looking forward to meeting him. Yep. I think he stole the show last year in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
or last season. So very much looking forward to him. We also have, from Hannibal, we have Aaron Abrams and Scott Thompson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you have some horror authors as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we always have a lot of great horror writers. Now, probably the best known, I would say, is Jonathan Mayberry. He has been a very loyal author. And, you know, when he started coming, he was a known author, but it's been gratifying to see such a nice guy become more and more popular within that community. Yeah. So, you know, he'll be back. Lots of other people. My longtime friend Karen Taylor, Scott Sigler.
Scott. I'm actually Facebook friends with him.
Oh, really? I have not met him, but he approached me and said he wanted to be on horror panels this year. And, well, hey, I'll work with him. He seems to like metal, so I think we'll get along fine. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could just start listing names off, and I'm sure that would probably my longtime friend Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough will be back. I'll always love seeing her.
Yep. And if anybody wants to find the full list of your guests, is there like a Horror Track website?
There is a Horror Track website. I haven't put up a list of all the guests yet.
Okay.
But our website is horror.dragoncon.org. Now, all of the guests and attending professionals can be found on the DragonCon website at www.dragoncon.org, so.
And who knows when folks will be listening to this, so they might listen to it right before they go to DragonCon. Hopefully you'd have, like, an updated list up there for them.
Yeah, that's why I always put that list off until closer to the date. Now, of course, we're about a month out, so that list might be going up, you know, over the weekend. Yeah. You know, but still, it should. I like to wait before putting all that stuff out there. So. Yeah.
And I definitely know that one of the fun things about Dragon Con is the after parties that usually are going on around the con. Is Hard Trek teaming up with for any crazy parties or any wild things going on for Dragon Con After Dark?
There's always parties to go to.
Yep.
And there's always bands playing. And so it's one of those things where we've never really put together a party of our own. We might in the future, but for now we're content to crash other tracks' parties.
And anything special for cosplayers? I'm sure we have some crazy Hannibal fans that want to dress up as Hannibal, and you always have your Jasons and your Michael Myers and whatnot. Any cosplay events or anything going on?
No, we generally don't go into that area.
Okay.
But of course we welcome costumes and cosplayers. You know, I would really like to see a lot of Sleepy Hollow cosplayers, mm-hmm. if possible, simply because I really want Tom Meissen to have a good time. So, I mean, I want all of our guests to have a good time, but I think he would really get a kick out of seeing a lot of that stuff.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was just telling the wife the other day that with my hair growing pretty long, I could probably pull off an Ichabod. So.
Oh. Hey, yeah, actually, which Ichabod, the one Tom Meissen plays,
yeah,
or
Tom,
my second
Tom
in command?
Yeah. Well, Derek, thanks so much for letting us know what's going on with the Hard Track. It sounds like you guys are going to have a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing what you come up with.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on. I think it will be a great time this year.
All right, great, thanks. All right, thanks so much to Derek. Next up, how about that show that they show in the hotel rooms during Dragon Con? Basically, it's the best thing ever for a convention. And we'll be right back with that.
Hello, Dr. Geek fans. I'm Penny.
And I'm Sheldon. And we're here to tell you about Dr. Geek's Lab, the science of music from fiction.
It's the soundtrack album from Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom.
Here's the rockin' version of the main theme by Point LaGrange and the Trojan Moon. Here's an instrumental called The Same Song.
Listen to this instrumental version of I Can Live With It.
Dr. Geek himself sings in this song, Creature's Rhapsody.
I see a little lab creature, not a man.
Strap him down, use him for everything we can.
Dr. Geek and Mr. Flash, very, very frightening me.
Wow, Dr. Geek sings.
Here's a little bit of the track, It's a Geeky Crisis.
Listen to the soulful melody of Gloomsday, Sheldon. Here's a song that will raise your spirits. Apply your geekdom, Flask. That's right, folks. This amazing album is available right now at iTunes,
Amazon.com,
CDBaby.com,
and anywhere you buy digital music online.
Don't forget, Sheldon, it's also available as a physical disc in select locations. Get your copy today.
All right, we're back. What we're talking about is Dragon Con TV, where they have all these crazy skits and all kinds of nutty stuff.
And goofy trivia questions and answers. And the thing about Dragon Con TV is that we can sit in our room watching Dragon Con TV the whole weekend and we'd probably be happy.
Yeah. But, of course, you want to go out and experience the con, so you can't just sit there and watch Dragon Con TV the whole time. But one of the cool things that they have is if for some reason you can't get into one of the major panels, they actually replay the panels on DragonCon TV.
Yeah, they'll even replay the parade. They'll replay the costume contest. So if you've missed certain things, just keep an eye out with DragonCon TV. Now, mind you, you have to be at one of the host hotels in order to see DragonCon TV.
Of course. And so to talk about DragonCon TV is the director of DragonCon TV, and that is Brian Richardson. So let's talk to Brian. All right, folks, joining us now is Brian Richardson. Brian is the videography director of DragonCon,
yep,
and the executive producer of DragonCon TV. Brian, yep, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
I have to say, one of my highlights of DragonCon is watching all the hilarious stuff on DragonCon TV.
Oh, thanks. And probably all the stuff after that, too, because that just only goes for about 10 minutes, and then it's whatever we're up to after that. But no, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah, and one of the great things about DragonCon TV is that we can just put it on whenever we're in the hotel room, and usually there's something interesting playing on it, whether it's just a panel that you guys recorded, or...
Or the funny skits.
Or the funny skits, or just usually something interesting going on.
Yep. When you're not seeing the con, you can watch us. Exactly. So that's
exactly. So I guess one of the big questions that everybody has is, how do you guys develop the skits? Is it something that you guys just have like a production company that just puts them all together, or do you have like different companies come in and submit stuff? How does that usually work?
Yeah, so we started just generating it ourselves. It started back in 2002 when we had one or two of our volunteers came to me. This is before we had an official videography department. Mm-hmm. And said, hey, it'd be fun if we made an intro for The Masquerade. And I'm like, yeah, it would. Here's an idea. You know, so you want to do this for the MST3K host that we had. So here's a rough idea I've got. We'll do a Star Wars crawl. And so we worked on site on this while we're doing our normal volunteer jobs to make this intro and get it done. And the director of the convention, now president of the convention, Pat Hendry, was like, that's great. What are you going to do next year? And we're like, crap. I see how this goes. Uh-huh. So after that, they said, okay, you can have 30 minutes before the masquerade and treat it like like the movie theater. So, you know, the ads and everything that come in and do something like that. So we're like, okay, we'll make a bunch of fake ads. And this was the year we mostly made like Photoshop slides, because back in my day, the ads before the movies weren't like Pepsi and Coke and full production. It was just like local bad real estate ads and right, banks and stuff. And they were probably literal slides, like printed on clear bits of paper or cellophane. So we made that, and we made a couple of live action commercials. And one of them was called Stormtroopers Gone Wild, which is still one of the I think one of the better things we've ever done, so we peaked early. But that sort of set the tone. Once we had that figured out, it set the tone for everything else that we did after that. Calling it DragonCon TV kind of came out of that. Doing the shorter bits, you know, we tried fake news for a while. It turns out that Comedy Central's better at that than we are. So we've switched over to kind of the mashup commercials of take science fiction, throw it into the real world. They have to eat somewhere. They have to sell things somewhere. They take drugs. So, you know, we had a commercial for the blue pill from The Matrix, you know, ask your doctor if blue pill is right for you. And it plays out exactly like a pharmaceutical ad.
That's awesome.
And so that got us into ripping off the Adult Swim bumpers. I mean, paying tribute to Adult Swim bumpers, making music videos. Firstly, we were just doing Jonathan Colton videos, and then we started doing our own parodies. So we've parodied everything from Saturday Night Live to this year, that, you know, Taylor Swift, the little, you know, probably nobody's ever heard of her, little indie artist. And so the formula is that it's not, you know, most of the stuff that you see is done by folks that are local. Mm-hmm. And we start working on that. We work on ideas probably like in January, February, and we don't really start shooting stuff till the spring. And we try to be done by August, but that never happens. We're still shooting the intro for The Masquerade. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's designed to ape a movie trailer.
Ah.
And unfortunately, we made it really look like a movie trailer. So I wrote this thing out. I'm like, all right, if we're going to make fun of this trailer, I'm going to sit down and break it down. And it's like 88 shots.
Wow. Like,
why did we have this idea? But it's actually going to turn out pretty good. And then we have people outside of the convention that submit And, you know, some people, it's fan films they'd already produced. Some people make stuff specifically for us. Mm. Some people make things and submit them, and we can't use them because they're, you know, adult content or it's not quite the way we want to go.
Right.
But you have the internet. The internet, turns out, is a pretty good place to show videos.
Yep. I've heard that. So I've heard that.
We used to show longer form stuff, but the way that people ingest things in their rooms, it's not fit for someone to sit down and watch like an hour long fan film.
Sure.
Because they're always like coming in and out of the room, and it also breaks up the flow of all the little shorter bits. So typically the longest thing you'll see on the channel is like maybe 10 minutes.
Okay.
And most of the stuff you'll see in the room is around 1 to 2 minutes.
Okay.
It's funny because the first time we ever went to Dragon Con several years ago, we were the newbies, so we actually went out to go see the parade, and it was hot. It was fun, but it was hot. Every Dragon Con since then, we'll catch it on the Dragon Con TV.
Yeah, we watched the live broadcast on TV.
Well, last year was the first time we did the live of the parade.
Yeah.
And we've done the live masquerade. The live masquerade is actually kind of what grew this. Is the hotels had always arranged to have what they call a dark channel, which sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. It's just a channel they don't use on the television network.
Right.
But they call it dark channel because it's just more amazing that way.
Yes.
So we would take that over back when we were just one hotel, and the only thing we would show is the masquerade. And you get a bunch of engineers running tech crew after a while, and we recognized wasted bandwidth. We weren't sure what to do with it. So we started showing movies on it late night, which turns out not legal, so we stopped doing that. We did a couple of other – we tried to do like a bulletin board kind of news thing, and that didn't really work out. It was like a prototype of the DragonCon app. We just didn't have the cloud behind us powering that thing. And so we settled on running the short content, and then a couple of years ago running the bigger kind of broadcast operation where we can live broadcast pretty much events anytime we want from the Centennial Ballroom or replay events from the other four main hotels.
And if I remember from last year, weren't you doing like one-on-one interviews with some of the guests as well?
Yeah. We used to produce a DVD of convention highlights, and so I would do the interviews for that. And we started making that more of a web-based thing. DVD sales aren't that popular in small batches anymore. So I've handed that off to Chris Lloyd. Everybody knows him as Crispy. So he does guest interviews primarily on Friday, but sometimes throughout the con. We get our own private space somewhere in the Marriott and interview guests. And this year, the lineup's really good this year. Mm-hmm. But we've had like Lucky Yates from Archer. We've had some people from the Science Track. Kevin Grazier was on one of the interviews. Amber Nash has been on there, I believe. I've interviewed the Crew Shadows. Not all of them, just Rogue. But they range in kind of the more obscure guests all the way up to, oh my goodness, this famous person on TV. So this year we're looking at people who have been on stuff like Fringe. We're trying to get some guests from some of the more mainstream stuff. It's a little bit of a secret who we actually have coming on, but it's pretty exciting.
Sure.
Very, very cool. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that one cosplayer, I think it was like a couple years ago, who dressed up as the Dragon Con
logo.
TV logo?
Oh, we love her. But the thing is, I was doing the parade commentary. This is the first year we've done the parade live, so it's this big setup. We have to get up at like 6 in the morning and get everything out on the street and set everything up for 1 hour of terrible jokes. We didn't see her. And we had like 3 camera coverage of the parade, and we missed her because we were so focused on doing the show that we didn't get a good angle of her during the parade. But everybody else is like, oh, yeah, we saw the logo this morning. I thought they were talking about like the – you know, oh, we have this broadcast. It's like, no, it's a woman dressed up like your logo walking around the convention. So we were like, okay. So we put out like this all points bulletin on Twitter. It's like, we must find you. And now we actually have a station ID that's her saying you're watching Dragon Con TV.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you watch the hotel loop, she'll pop up at some point telling you that you're watching us, which is her at that point, which is, it's confusing. And then the sad thing is, the year that she did that was the year that we actually made small changes to the logo.
Oh, no.
So we streamlined it a little bit and changed some of the colors. And she still matches, but we didn't have the heart to tell her that, like, she was the wrong Pantone colors and everything. Do the whole thing over again. That's a little unnerving.
Wow.
That particular year, that was my favorite costume of the year.
Yeah. I think we named it our favorite costume.
I think we did.
It's kind of, it's just like, you did what? Well, that's great and weird, but great, but yeah. Also.
Yeah, very unique. Obviously, you're a professional, but was there ever a moment with a celebrity where you kind of just geeked out a little bit?
Well, turns out a professional's kind of a hard term. I don't actually do video production for my job. Video has been a hobby of mine since high school. I went to a magnet high school. They taught us how to edit video on like a tape with a video toaster, you know, hand crank on the side of the camera. No, not quite that bad. But so the Dragon Con I've been involved with since 98 as a fan, and I've had some, like, I used to play in a band, so I had some sound experience. I did radio in college. So it's a lot of that bringing the hobby skills that the engineering work doesn't pay for. So it's been interesting the times where I've been able to keep the geek in check. The first couple of years I was doing the interviews, the astronaut, I talked to a Gemini era astronaut who came to Dragon in 2005, I believe. And that was one of those moments where I was like, I wanted to go to space when I was a kid. So I had like my dad had a Gemini model that he had passed down to me that I had in my room for years. And so it's like, this is one of the guys who went in the thing that was on my desk. And then, you know, the first toy I can remember having at the age of five is C-3PO. And I somehow managed to keep all that in check meeting Anthony Daniels.
Oh, wow.
The first year I volunteer, I'm like, I actually paid to get a ticket for Dragon Con. And then a day into the show, they're like, hey, we know one of your friends. And he says, you know how to run sound. And I got pulled into doing tech ops. And then flash cut, like a day later, you know, the guy who's inside the suit of my first toy is walking around on stage asking me how the camera coverage is going to go. And I'm like, I just got here. I have no – nice to meet you, sir. And so the one most recently was Adam Savage. I think that was the one that I had the hardest time keeping in check because there's so many kind of – his enthusiasm for what he does. And just, you know, I've been watching Mythbusters since day one. Mm-hmm. And it was – cool to talk to him, and it was hard to keep in check because he's so energetic and into what he's doing that you expect that the minute he meets somebody, he's going to geek out about him. So it's fun to keep that in check, but once the cameras stop, you're just like, I just sat down for 10 minutes and talked to Adam Savage about building models. It was
So you talked a little bit about how Dragon Con has developed videography department.
Right.
So what exactly does that entail other than obviously DragonCon TV? Are there different things that you're recording? Are you developing stuff for the web? What exactly happens with that?
Yeah, we've grown the official video part. The silly video part actually has more of a history to it. And that's stuff that we end up doing pretty much before the show. On rare occasions, we're still working on things when we get there. But most of the time, we have all that stuff nailed down before we get on site. What videography does is start sort of showing the convention to everyone. So they're responsible for the DragonCon TV network that runs between the five host hotels. We run a master control, we own some of the same production equipment you might see in a small TV station to connect those hotels. So a company called Blackmagic makes a computer controlled switcher. We use that. We've finally gotten rid of things like videotapes. We're still using high definition videotapes up to, I think, last year. So we have a set of camera operators and master control and switcher operators that go out and make sure that the big ballrooms have camera coverage and have everything recorded. So we're archiving the convention as we go. We also have the interview team that Crispy runs that, you know, gets guest interviews. We schedule those ahead of the show, work with all the agents and guest handlers, and then put those things online and onto the TV channel as we're going. So we're actually, the DragonCon TV YouTube channel, we're uploading content as the show is going on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The same thing with The Late Show. I'm a co-host of the sort of our daily news and information show at the convention. That's every morning, 9 to 9:30. And we call it The Late Show because if you're up at 9 o'clock in the morning at a convention, you stayed up late. You didn't get up. I'm barely awake. I don't know why you're watching this thing. So, you know,
you didn't go to bed.
The convention in a non-creepy way wakes up with us every morning. And so we do that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We do a lot big live events like the Masquerade, the Parade, the new Chosen, which is the cosplay event at the Aquarium Saturday night this year. Yaya Han, who's a cosplayer who's been on here as a cosplay, is the co-host of that. So that's a new thing that we're actually doing. And so that requires multi-camera coverage and equipment set up. And then we have a group that's doing segment production. So they're going to go around, and you probably, if you've looked in the YouTube channel in the past, you've seen some of these where someone will walk around with a microphone and talk to the head of gaming or you know, try to go and see something that's kind of outside the main programming, outside the big guests. So their charter is basically don't talk to guests, go talk to, you know, what cool things are going on. How's the convention get set up? who's running these particular tracks. Can you show me, like, go to the science track and show me something that blows up or freezes, or maybe both. And so highlight the part that people don't think about at first when they come to Dragon Con.
Yep.
And so all those things go on in the middle of the show. And there's like 37 people that work with me to do that during the course of the convention.
Wow, so you got like a huge staff?
And
they're all volunteers?
They're all volunteers. It started out with 9, counting myself, all volunteers. Wow. And I mean, DragonCon really only has 3 people that are considered to be employees. The other 2,200 to 2,300 people that make the show go volunteer.
Wow.
And it's a fan convention at that point. It's still, you know, they let a bunch of, you know, a bunch of screwballs who made comedy decide that we're going to be your TV network. Okay, that was an odd decision. And some of the people who work with you are actually professional. I'm actually pretty lucky that some of the people who come in, like one of them actually runs Master Control for the Cartoon Network and Boomerang.
Wow,
that's
cool.
Her job. When she comes to Dragon Con, the one thing she doesn't really want to do is Master Control. Some people work for CNN. One of them's in IT. He's not actually involved in the show part of CNN. Some of them are freelance video people. One of them's an extra. He's been an extra in almost everything Marvel has shot in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. One of them's a lighting professional grip. So it's nice that we actually have these people who they're fans. They have some related talent, and they can draw that in and make my life a lot easier as we try to grow out how we show the convention to the world.
Yep. Well, Brian, if people want to find out more about DragonCon TV, do you guys have a website? Obviously, you have the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find out more information?
So we're on that internet thing, DragonConTV.org. We have DragonCon TV as our Twitter handle and also on Facebook. And YouTube, of course, is where we put all the videos. So that's youtube.com/DragonConTV. And that's a mix, again, of our latest music video is our Taylor Swift tribute to Star Wars Episode 7. So, you get to see Princess Leia and George Lucas sing about George Lucas selling off Star Wars to Disney.
Awesome. A Taylor Swift breakup song. All right.
Yeah, Taylor Swift breakup song. So George Lucas broke up with
Princess Leia.
Princess Leia is a Disney princess now, so George sings to her about that. So that's fun. But also, we're about to post our first episode of The Late Show. We do one ahead of the convention talking about like tips and tricks for surviving the con, what we did on our summer vacation, talk a little bit this year about disability services so people can recognize the different badges that people get and the different decals and how they are designed to identify people who aren't immediately seen as disabled or have some kind of medical issue that needs to be observed.
Cool.
So, yeah, just sort of the, you know, guidelines of how to have a better con.
Yep. Definitely. All right, Brian. Well, thank you so much for giving us an inside look at DragonCon TV. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have never even realized that this much production goes into DragonCon TV.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys do such an amazing job.
And it was cool to find out how DragonCon TV even got started.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Very good.
Well, here's the scary part. We've gone long enough to where we're getting a second hotel channel and for the hotels to replay old content. There's actually...
Really?
Wow.
There's a channel now called DCTV Land. Which is our classics channel.
Wow.
And so we had to do that too. So yeah, except for the Westin, all the host hotels have 2 extra channels. And so one of them is all the stuff that's going on current. And then everything else is stuff that we retired or all the old, like the interviews I did for DVDs, like 10, 11 years ago, wow. Everything on there is still available.
That's fantastic.
You know what? They need a Roku channel.
Yeah.
We've talked about how to infect the internet with more of us, but that's a long conversation. So,
Brian, thanks again so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for the time.
All right, thanks to Brian for that. And next up, we're going to talk Brit Track.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of Transmissions from Atlantis, featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost class.
Harry Potter fan that thinks they're the only fandom that has passionate fans. That's a bunch of crap.
You know what? That is bullcrap. Harry Potter fans do not believe that way, and I don't even know where you're pulling that from.
Well, that's absolutely what you just said. The whole point. Prove that point. Respect.
What? That wasn't stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid. Stupid. And dignity.
Commander Riker here. I'm by the book.
Prime Directive, can I get
Prime Directive! Geeky!
Join Transmissions from Atlantis weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO network. Yes, it's quite good, really.
This is Gareth David Lloyd. I play Yanto in Torchwood, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis.
I tried to talk. I want you to remember that. I tried to reach out. I tried to understand you, but I think that you understand us perfectly.
I think that you just don't care. And I don't know whether you are here to invade, infiltrate, or just replace us. I don't suppose it really matters now. You are monsters! That is the role you seem determined to play, so it seems that I must play mine. The man that stops the monsters. I'm sending you back to your own dimension. Who knows? Some of you may even survive the trip. And if you do, remember this. You are not welcome here. This plane is protected. I am the Doctor.
So, unfortunately, this year we weren't able to get Carol on. It's our first year that we actually missed Carol, unfortunately, but she's just too busy at this point. It's too close to Dragon Con, and there's just too much crazy stuff going on. So, we're going to try to tell you a little bit about what's going to be going on with Doctor Who and a bunch of the other things that Brit Track covers, I guess.
So, let's talk guests first. So, for Doctor Who, there is going to be Karen Gillan, which I believe this is going to be her first Dragon Con.
If it's not, it's the first that we've gone to that she's
at. And as always, we've got Sylvester McCoy, who's the Seventh Doctor.
Yep, he's always here.
He doesn't make it every year, but he does make it most years.
Yep.
And we have John Barrowman back again.
Yep.
At one point, there was Paul McGann and Alex Kingston, but unfortunately, they both had to cancel due to conflicts.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer, but unfortunately, that's kind of the way it works. Of course, they do have, as well, Julian Glover. Now, if that name doesn't ring a bell, Julian has been in Doctor Who, The Avengers, The Saint.
You know where else we've seen him from? And I just figured this out.
Game of Thrones.
No.
What?
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones?
It was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He was the dude who drank from the wrong cup at the end of the movie.
Is that him?
That's him!
No.
Yes, it is!
No!
Yes!
No.
Remember, drink the cup and he goes all... Waterworld. That's him.
You chose poorly.
Exactly. That's him.
Apparently, he was also in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, voicing the spider Aragog.
Ooh, I did not even realize that. I never really looked up who the voice of Aragog was. Very cool.
What kind of Harry Potter fan are you if you didn't even look at it?
It was just a spider. I don't like spiders.
And of course, Brit Track isn't just about Doctor Who. It also pretty much does anything that is British. So you're actually going to have Terry Jones from the Monty Python series.
Ooh, very nice.
So, yep, definitely a big guest there. As usual, the Ken Spivey Band will be there. And you always know that they're always fun. One other guest is for Brit Track is Veronica Belmont, and she is on BBC America. She was the host for Doctor Who's 50th anniversary pre- and post-show, as well as co-host of the show Gizmodo, the Gadget Testers.
Interesting.
So Brit Track doesn't just have guests, though. They also have some very cool events going on as well.
Parties! They actually tend to have the best parties.
So, of course, there's the Heroes and Villains Ball, which they do with Dragon Con's video game track, combining for Heroes and Villains. And this year, they're having a special 10th anniversary ball for New Who.
Yay! New Who party! Woo! Bring a banana.
Bring a banana.
You gotta always bring a banana.
They always have fan panels as well.
And it's gonna be everything British, so you're gonna see fan panels on Doctor Who, Downton Abbey, Luther, Broadchurch, Sherlock, especially yep. Sherlock.
Yep. Atlantis. I don't know who the hell watches that, but apparently somebody does.
Orphan Black, which I actually just started getting into.
And, of course, Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf, yes. Yep.
So, definitely some great, great stuff. And so, Brit Track is going to be off the chain this year, as it always is.
Yep. It is one.
Do they still say that off the chain? I don't think they say that anymore.
Do I look like I keep up with the lingo?
I don't know. I think that was like 2000s. I'm dating myself. I'm not like literally dating myself, but never mind. This is going in a whole other direction I don't want to talk about.
Okay, anyway, Brit Track is awesome like it always is. The American sci-fi track, I think I'm actually looking forward to this year. And the American classics track is always phenomenal.
Yep.
Probably because they're a really laid-back bunch.
Yep, definitely. So, it should be fun, and we're looking forward to it. And that's about it for Brit Track. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. Or should I say this month's episode of Transmissions, the way we've been going lately.
Well, I don't know about you, but I am excited for this year's Dragon Con. There's going to be an amazing lineup for guests. Panels look like they're going to be awesome. There's going to be some awesome parties going on. Buckets of rum.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. And if for those who are wondering, we are not on any panels this year. That's actually by choice. It wasn't like they didn't invite us. We just decided not to put our name in the hat for any panels this year because we've been paneling for the last few years at Dragon Con, and frankly, we just wanted to have fun this year.
Yep, so we're just going to go as attendees. I've got my lineup of cosplays I'm going to do, and we're just going to have some fun.
Yep, I've got my Jon Snow costume all set up.
And I'll be doing Daenerys,
yep,
mother of dragons.
So if you see a Jon Snow and Daenerys, it may be Rita and I, so you might want to come and say hi, or at least tell me that I know nothing.
Jon Snow.
Yes.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Coming up on our next episode, we'll be reviewing Dragon Con, as well as talking about Fear the Walking Dead, and also previewing the new season of Doctor Who.
Wee-oo!
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
Thank you. That's good enough.
Ooh.
All right, fine. So that's basically... All right. That does it for this week's episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. Until next time.
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y, Morocco. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time. Oh.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.